It takes a lot to prepare for a wedding, but bride Kate Middleton has a special challenge, creating a coat of arms. That's a must in Britain for a commoner marrying a prince. And here to tell us how you do that is Ian Chillog and Mike Danforth. They produce NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and host the podcast How to Do Everything.
I'm Ian.
I'm Mike. And to help us answer the question, how do you get a coat of arms, we're joined by Thomas.
My name's Thomas Woodcock, and I'm Garter Principal King of Arms, but perfectly acceptable for you to call me Mr. Woodcock.
So just like anyone who wants a coat of arms, Kate Middleton and her family went to Mr. Woodcock at the College of Arms in London.
But not just anyone gets a coat of arms. For starters, you have to be a subject of the British Crown.
And then there's something called the Test of Eminence.
Yeah, which basically means you need an important job or a university degree.
So once your eminence has been established, Thomas,
Mr. Woodcock,
asks you what you want on your coat of arms.
The Middleton family wanted to have acorns on it, particularly as a reference to the fact that the part of Berkshire in which they brought their children up, there are a lot of oak trees.
So the Middletons wanted acorns, but really they could have asked for anything.
And people do ask for weird things.
I once did a coat of arms for a surgeon who particularly wanted to have a colon on it, and he didn't really see as it was his speciality in surgery why he shouldn't have it. But it's not a very attractive design,
no.
The colon, and it looks rather like a red worm.
Mr. Woodcock designed a shield for the Middletons with the acorns.
And if you're having trouble picturing what this looked like, we'll make sort of an audio version of the coat of arms for you.
So there's the acorns.
Now, those are not actual acorns you're hearing.
A chevron.
And no colon.
It's much simpler than Prince William's.
That's the shield of the House of Windsor, which has three gold lions.
It has a harp.
Some fleur-de-lis, and at the bottom, another lion.
And then a unicorn.
That's what's known as the supporters, where you have the lion and the unicorn supporting the shield.
And here's the important part. Once the two are married and she becomes a princess, their shields will be merged.
They sort of move in together. Catherine gets a new shield with all of his stuff on the left.
And her stuff on the right.
And they lose the unicorn.
So the lion will stay there holding up one side of the shield.
Okay.
And then they will have to think of some animal to replace the unicorn, something relating to her.
Should it be a beast that, like, eats acorns? Would that make sense?
Well, I agree. If you had a beast which ate acorns, then you could have a squirrel. But whether it would look quite martial or heroic enough balancing a lion, because a lion and a squirrel, although you could make it the same size, they might not balance quite as well as some others. I can't think of other animals that eat nuts.
Or like a dinosaur, a herbivore?
I've never seen a dinosaur on a coat of arms. Of course, it has slight connotations of being extinct.
Yeah, I bet that's pretty touchy regarding the royal family.
I think it might be a bit touchy. But that apart, there's no reason why you could not have a dinosaur.
So that's pretty much it. That's how you get a coat of arms.
Yep, be a subject of the British Crown. And prove your eminence.
And give Thomas Woodcock a call.
That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me producers Mike Danforth and Ian Chillog. You can learn more, like how to jump from a moving car or run for office, on their podcast, How to Do Everything.